Thank you, brother. Morning. It's great to be here. We haven't seen all of you for a little bit. We've been out on the road visiting our supporting churches and the churches that partner with us in the work in Cameroon. We're about halfway through our visits, and they're going great. And so it's fun to see a lot of familiar faces this morning, so thanks for coming. And I'm not going to go real long today because there's these raspberry tarts down there. And anyway, I don't want to keep anybody away from those. Today we're going to talk about where is home? Where's home? And at the end, I'm going to ask you guys for application. What did we learn together this morning? And as we go through this, I'm going to jump around a lot in different areas of Scripture, looking at this topic from some different angles and what the Scripture tells us, and then we'll hear from you at the end. So let's pray as we begin. Father, open our hearts this morning, open my mouth, and open your word so that your word will go forth and it will not return void. Father, we thank you and praise you that you have called us your children and that you have molded us into this community of Christ, this church. Father, bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen. So we call Converge Church our home church, our sending church. We were commissioned for our missionary service in Cameroon right here. And some of you in this room laid hands on us when we were sent out many years ago. We were appointed as missionaries in 1991. At that time, Harvey Oaks Baptist Church was one of the first churches to be a partner with us. Bethany Baptist here in Omaha was also one of the churches that was a partner with us. So we've got a long history here. I hate to tell you the math, but that's 30 years. God is faithful, isn't he? Yes, he really is. So we praise the Lord for those 30 years. So where's home? The past couple years, we have lived in a safer part of Cameroon. There's been unrest and armed conflict in Cameroon since 2017. We've not been back in our home village for over 3 years, and that's hard because we considered that home. So we were in this new area. It's safe, it's quiet, and we were with a lot of people who were also not able to go to their homes. We lived in a house on a Cameroon Baptist Convention hospital property. And so we were part of that hospital community. And one day, a government official came for his tour to inspect the hospital. And there was a little occasion, a little meeting after his inspection. And we sat down, and the head nurse got up, and he introduced the people that were present so that this person would know them. And when he introduced Stephanie and I, he said, "This is Doug and Stephanie Lewis. They are displaced people like I am." And, you know, we really didn't want to be in that group of displaced people, driven from their homes. The head nurse, his home was burned down, and he was in this safer area as well. So in the news, you'll hear about IDPs, internally displaced people. You'll see that in the World Herald or other news sources. In Cameroon right now, there's about 500,000 plus people who are internally displaced. That means they've moved from the area of conflict and trouble to an area within Cameroon where there's peace and where it's a little safer. And so we are two of those many that have moved. When we first arrived back in Cameroon in, I think it was 2019, a couple years ago now, we were on our way to our new place. We'd been to this town before, but we, moving is always challenging. What's going to be ahead? As we were on our way to this place, we stopped by another hospital area. We met a man there that we knew. And he said, "So you're going to your new area?" And we said, "Yeah, we are. We can't go back home." And he said, "You know, we talk a lot about IDPs in Cameroon. But you know what? For the believer, there's no such thing as an IDP. There's only DPPs, divinely placed people." So we thought we were fleeing conflict, but when you think about divinely placed, that puts a better light on it, doesn't it? And shows us that no matter where we are, we're put there by God. And if we're put there by God, if we're divinely placed, that's home, isn't it? I'm going to open the scriptures now and go to different places. And you're welcome to open up the scriptures along with me, but I'll read everything. So we'll be jumping around some, but just bear with me as we go through these things, and we'll see what the scriptures can tell us about this. The first place I'm going to read from is in Proverbs 13:12. Proverbs 13:12 says this, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. We were in Cameroon during the height of the pandemic, the worldwide pandemic. We weren't here with you experiencing what you were going through. But I know there's some of you here that had hopes deferred this past year. It may have been hope of going to school in person. It may have been graduating, moving. Hopes deferred makes the heart sick. We feel bad about it. But a desire fulfilled is the tree of life. We hope to get back to Takwe, our village. But that hope was deferred and our heart was not feeling good about that. So what do we do with that feeling, that heart sickness that all of us have when a hope is deferred? Pastor Mike read Psalm 131, and I'd like to read that again. David writes this, "O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." So if our heart is sick, that's hard to understand, isn't it? Lord, what do I do with these feelings? This psalm says, I don't occupy myself with things too great and marvelous for me. There's going to be things that we don't understand in life and in our own hearts. And that's okay. Stay humble. Don't think that we have to know these things. And then it goes on to say, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. I just see that picture of sitting in a lap as a child, being content, being quiet, not being wiggly, just resting in that contentment that God can have. O Israel, hope in the Lord. That's where our hope comes from, hope in the Lord. When I was young, my sister and I would spend part of our summers out in Gibbon, Nebraska, at my dad's folks' farm, the Lewis farm. And we'd get on the train here in Omaha, Dad would say the conductor, these two kids are going to get off in Kearney. And so we'd ride the train out to Kearney and get off and spend some time with Grandpa and Grandma. And I remember my grandpa had a platform rocking chair, the kind that had springs in front and back. You know, it didn't have the legs that stuck out and tripped you. It had springs. And that's where he sat. And I remember as a kid sitting in my grandfather's lap. And if that doesn't feel like home, I don't know what does. Resting, content, feeling connected to my grandfather, feeling connected to the place, the soil that he tilled and farmed and grew crops and fed his family from. This verse talks about hoping in the Lord. Is there really any other hope that we have? Hope. Let's turn to the New Testament now. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. Hebrews 11, 8 through 16. Before I read this, I want to tell you about a song that we sing in Cameroon. And the name of the song is Until I Reach My Home. And the way we sing in Cameroon, we don't have words on the screen normally. We don't have hymn books. We have song leaders. And the song leader sings the song with the melody and the words. And then the congregation repeats things, just like it was sung. So this song is called Until I Reach My Home. And I'm not going to sing it. I don't have a voice like Joe, okay? Until I reach my home, until I reach my home. I will never, never leave my journey halfway until I reach my home. So the song leader sings that. The congregation repeats that back and forth, back and forth. You sing it, and after a while, start to dance a little bit because you're happy about thinking about our home. It's joy. So we don't leave our journey halfway. We keep pressing on towards our true home, which we have for the believer. And that's what this passage in Hebrews talks about. I'm going to read it through completely, and then we'll go back and pick out some things from the verses. Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to that city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of the heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For the people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. The past years that we haven't been able to get back to our home village because of the conflict, we've learned a lot about what it means to be a stranger, an exile, a sojourner on this earth. Not rooted like we once were, and that's okay. Abraham was not rooted very deeply, was he? It says in verse 8, he obeyed when he was called out, and he went out not knowing where he was going. How many of you got in your car this morning not knowing where you were going? Abraham just obeyed, said, God, you tell me to go, I'm going to go. Uncertainty. Do you think that was a little bit uncomfortable? I would think so. Lord, where am I going? What am I going to do? What's it going to be like? But he did it. Then in verse 10, it says, Abraham was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. What city is that? It's glory. It's our heavenly city that the believers have as a promise. That's what Abraham was counting on. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar. So they were seeing, Lord, I'm on this earth, but yet there's something better, that city, that eternal home that we have as the believer. The end of verse 13 says, having acknowledged that they were strangers and exile on the earth. If you acknowledge that, have you said, yeah? This past year has helped me learn that I just am a stranger and an exile on this earth. I'm just passing through for a while. We're here for a while, but yet there's something more. Strangers and exiles sounds a little bit like displaced people, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. But it also sounds like divinely placed people. People who are put in a place by God for now, while we wait. Verse 14. For the people who speak thus, make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Seeking a homeland. So we've talked about hoping. Let's talk about seeking. This verse, homeland, means the place of one's fathers. The place of one's fathers. So it's probably not talking about Buffalo County, Nebraska farmland, is it, that our family considers home? Or wherever you're from. Our true father, his homeland is glory. It's heaven. Verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Looking forward to a better place, a better country? Yeah, all of us are. And that's our hope. That's what we should be seeking. So, what do we do in the meantime? As strangers, aliens, exiles, what do we do in the meantime? We wait. And those words, hope and wait, kind of go together. So let's look now at Psalm 27, 13 and 14. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage, wait for the Lord. So the land of the living is right here, this earth, where we are living and breathing. The goodness of the Lord is here. We're supposed to be looking for it. Sometimes it's hard to see the goodness of the Lord because other things cloud our vision. This verse says, look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. So that waiting, that hoping, knowing that we're here, living and breathing, looking for the goodness of the Lord in our lives here, and also looking towards the goodness that's coming, our heavenly home. One last verse for us. John 16:33. John 16:33 says this. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Where does that true peace come? If we're divinely placed, we're going to have it through Christ, aren't we? Jesus gives us a promise here in this verse. A promise for peace and also a promise for trouble. In this world, in this land of the living, there will be tribulation. There's going to be trouble. Yet, there's peace because Christ promises that. So as we hope, we're looking for that peace that we can only find in Christ. That peace for the believer, that peace for others. Are we telling people about that peace that they can have in Christ? And if anyone here today doesn't have that peace in their life that only Christ can give, talk to me. Talk to Pastor Mike. Today may be the day that you find that peace. Years ago, when Sunday night church was held, Westwood and Harvey Oaks Baptist, after the Sunday evening service, sang one line of one hymn every Sunday night. Blessed be the tie that binds. There's a few people that will remember that. This hymn was written in the 1780s by a pastor in England. And I'm going to read just a few of the six verses. Here's the first one. This is the one that we all have probably heard. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. See the connection? Here's verse 5. This glorious hope revives our courage by the way, while each in expectation lives and longs to see that day. What day do you think he's talking about? Here's the last verse. From sorrow, toil, and pain, and sin, we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship reign through all eternity. I think this pastor, he got it right, didn't he? He was there, living with his community of believers, hoping, waiting, seeking, yet having peace, yet longing for that day, the day of glory. All right, now I want to hear from you. What do these verses teach us? Don't be shy.
see that day.
Okay. We have a promise in Christ that we will have that day when we will be in glory and get to see that day. Thanks. Yeah.
These things focus on the eternal perspective. I know personally in my life, this summer has been not so much my personal situation, but maybe yes. There is an eternal thing, and our home is with it. And it's not of this world, and I know that. I lost my younger brother. I lost a good friend, and I had a chance to share the gospel with him. He was a musical brother. He was killed by a drunk driver in July. Tomorrow, I get to go to memorial service to say goodbye to another longtime friend, musical brother. So, and I turned 65 this year, and I'm not gonna, but it's a different perspective now than one has. 20s, 30s, 40s. Praise God.
Okay.
You can always come to that promise.
Yeah.
This world,
right.
That eternal.
Okay. So, what was shared was there's been a lot of trouble this past year, tribulations. And as he's getting older, he's getting a better perspective on not being of this world, but being of God's heavenly world. Thank you. Anybody else? All right. I'll close in prayer, and then we'll turn it back to Pastor. Father, we do thank you that you have called us to be your children. We can sit in your lap and have peace in the midst of tribulation. Father, our home is in you. Father, we just thank you for Converge Church and praise you for the faithful partnership that this church has had with the work in Cameroon. Father, we're just humbled by that and praise you for it. Father, bless this church. Help us to be your light to this neighborhood, to our neighbors and friends, and to our family members. Father, keep us focused on you and focused on glory while we live in this land of the living. And we pray it in Jesus' powerful name.